was March 13, 1964. I had been cruising around Queens for over an hour. It was almost 3:15 a.m. when I saw her, Katie Genovese, perfect as can be. She was driving home from her job as a manager of a bar in Hollis, Queens. I decided to follow her to a parking lot of the Long Island Railroad Station in Kew Gardens near a faux two-door building on Austin Street, where she shared an apartment with another woman. I got out of my car, and I followed her on foot when she started walking to her building. Somehow she saw me coming up behind her, and she got scared and started to run. Of course I chased her and caught up with her right outside this dark bookstore, and I took out my hunting knife and stabbed her twice in the back. Kitty cried out in pain and yelled,
"Oh my God, he stabbed me! Help me, help me!"
I was expecting someone to call the cops because after she screamed, many lights went on in the apartments above the bookstore, and some even came to their windows. One of the neighbors even yelled out,
"Let that girl alone,"
which spooked me a little, so I ran away from Kitty. I was gone for 10 minutes, but it seemed like longer because when I came back, Kitty had dragged her way to the door in her apartment building and had just made it inside. I caught up to her and stabbed her 12 more times, raped her, and took her money.
Later that week, police got a call about a suspected robbery. When the police showed up, they found a television in the trunk of the suspect's car. The man, Winston Mosley, was arrested and taken to the station, where he confessed to stealing appliances dozens of times. Mosley drove a white Corvair, and this struck Detective John Tartaglia, who remembered that some witnesses to Genovese's murder had reported seeing a white car. This was mentioned to Mosley, who said nothing. Tartaglia called in detectives John Carroll and Mitchell Sang. They noticed scabs on Mosley's hands and accused him of killing Genovese. Mosley replied that he had and confirmed information that only the murderer would have known. According to the police, Mosley gave a full and detailed confession of raping and killing Genovese and several additional women. Mosley confessed to a total of 3 murders, including 24-year-old Annie Mae Johnson and 15-year-old Barbara Kralik. Despite Mosley's knowledge or details on these murders, police took no formal statement and he was never tried for killing Johnson or Kralik. Months earlier, a white teenager named Alvin Mitchell had confessed to murdering Kralik. The 18-year-old Mitchell had been interrogated by police several times over 50 hours, in which he signed a confession written by detectives. While in police custody, Mitchell claimed he was threatened and physically abused. He quickly recanted the confession. Mitchell, not Mosley, was tried for the murder of Barbara Kralik. Mosley even served as a defense witness. Not only did he confess to killing Kralik, but he provided a step-by-step account of the murder, including a detail that a small, serrated knife was used as a murder weapon, a detail that had not been made public. Mitchell's trial ended in a hung jury, and he was eventually convicted during a second trial. Again, Mosley served as a witness, but this time he refused to talk. "I didn't do it," he testified, "and I don't intend to go into any explanation why." Mitchell was convicted of first-degree manslaughter. He served 12 years and 8 months before being released. With help from an investigator, he volunteered his time. Kasten was able to track Mitchell down. I asked Mitchell why he confessed," Kasten explains. "His reply was simple and to the point. I would have confessed to killing a president because of them people had scared me to death." He would later claim that a mobster executed Genovese, and he was only the getaway driver. Mosley's son has stated that he believes Mosley attacked Genovese because she yelled racial slurs at him. Mosley died in jail on March 28, 2016, at 81 years old. Mosley was sentenced to death on June 15, 1964. It was reduced to a life sentence in 1968.
During the murder of Kitty Genovese, there was a rough amount of 38 people that heard screaming and witnessed the murder. Even though all these people had witnessed the murder, no one came to her rescue. This was the first account with so many bystanders doing nothing to help the victim. This resulted in extensive research on the bystander effect. The bystander effect explains why someone witnessing a crime would not step in and help the victim. Bibb LaTane and John Darley are both psychologists who made their careers studying the bystander effect. They conducted experiments that showed that the more witnesses there are, the less likely it is that others are going to help the victim. The greater number of bystanders, the less likely it is that one of them will help, also known as the diffusion of responsibility. People in a crowd were less likely to step forward and help the victim. The murder of Kitty Genovese was also part of why 911 was created. All the way until the 1960s, there was no certain number to call for emergencies. They would have to call their nearest station or dial zero. They would then reach an operator who would have to transfer them to the police. Finally, 3 years after Kitty Genovese was killed. 911 was created. They chose 911 because they wanted a simple number that people could remember. The first 911 call was made in February 1968 in Haleyville, Alabama.